soon, I soon shall stand hilltops of glory land, way down in Egypt mid burning sand. Moses had started for Canaan's land, never turn backward, always a sin, up to the journey's end.
Hilltops of glory
I now can see.
Oh brother, won't you come go with me?
Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand, hilltops of glory land.
Footsteps of Jesus
before us lead. We tread life's journey, his warnings heed.
Evil allurements cannot prevail. I'm on the upward trail.
Hilltops of glory I now can see.
Oh, brother, won't you come go with me?
Stay on the mountain I soon shall stand.
Hilltops of glory land.
Let's mark our books at 714. Number 714 will be after our lesson tonight. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 257. And after this song, Travis, would you lead us in prayer? Thank you.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless.
Miss James, you have to pee in it, show the red light. By chance,
I've been working steadily on having this to be shown since 5 o'clock this afternoon. I just couldn't have to work together, and couldn't get it together that thing, I don't know what to mind. But nevertheless, we have that happen. These are the works of Brother Tom Childers. I don't know if you know Brother Childers or not. He preached over in Rickley, Mississippi for a number of years. He's been for the last 14 or 15 years the director at the Pre-Hardeman Lectureship of the Book Club. The book's been put together. He's done that sort of work and everything. And he's done that in a wonderful way. And so he got together with some of the brethren. I'll show you at the end of this, so I hesitate about doing anything extra than showing it right here right now. But anyway, I'll show you what all he's got together. He's got around 20 different authors who through the years have done this sort of thing. Flavor Nichols, Gus Nichols, and all. We got charts of theirs back yonder when. He had over 1,300 charts on this DVD that he was able to put on that DVD. And he talked to these men, he said, you know, this is a going by kind of situation. This is a going past us situation. And they recognized, yeah, that's right, because unless these things are preserved, it's going to be something that's in the closet. It's going to be something that's not going to be helpful and useful to us at all. And so consequently, he persuaded them to share this with him so he could do this and make a little bit of money for Fried Hardeman at the same time for his own work that he was doing in these DVDs. 1,300 charts. I've got choices of sermons for the next 7 weeks of time, 7 days of time, 7 Sundays of time. And so, you know, a couple of months and then tonight, a good time, a good way. I chose tonight to begin with this idea because this morning as we're talking about God's eternal truth and how that truth is seen in the worship of God and in the service of God as well as in the day-to-day activities of growth in God and how that he wants us to see that truth is there. And how he closed out in 2 Peter 1 when he said, you'll see this truth when you see this ways of life, that you add these things to your life. When you add faith, virtue, knowledge, and temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, you'll have this to be added to your way of life. And you'll see the truth at the end of this thing. And they will see the truth in the end of that way. When we talk about this, we're talking about something that is righteous and something that is righteous and good. I don't know, Miss Jane, if this is going to be strong enough to do anything about it. You see that the New Testament church is a part of God's great plan. It is noted in the writing of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 that Paul writes there to Timothy that you may be a part of the church of the Lord, which is the pillar and ground of what? Pillar and ground of the truth. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. As you talk about something that's stable, it's going to be lasting, it's going to stand whatever troubles and problems come upon it, it's going to stand. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. And it's called the house of God. And in Isaiah chapter 2, which is the first verse up there on the left about prophecy of Christ Jesus setting up his church, he called that the house of God. He said that the house of God is built and exalted above the hills, and it will be there, and that all nations will come unto it. Of course, those Jewish people who heard Isaiah speak, they respected him highly, but they probably had a question mark in their mind when they got back home and said, what does he mean, all nations? And he's talking about our nation. Surely he'd be talking about just us. He couldn't imagine him talking about the Gentile nations, but Isaiah was predicting what God had said. God said he was going to have his house to be honored by all nations of people. He said that they would no longer fight one another. They no longer pick up sword and fight one another with that way. He said they would be people of peace. They would be people who enjoyed one another and were a part of one another's daily walk of life. And in speaking regarding that house of God in 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, this is the house of God. He said, it's offered to everybody. It's a pillar and the ground of the truth. And he said, the house of God is the church of the living God,
the pillar and ground of the truth. So the house of God in Isaiah was the church of the living God in 1 Timothy 3, as Paul talked about it. And it was involving, of course, Gentiles. And Timothy would be going to a Gentile city that had a lot of Jewish inheritance of that there in that time, in that place. And in that regard, he was able to preach to Jews and Gentiles alike the same message of salvation, the same message of hope, the same message of worship that he talked to them as Timothy went over there to work with them at Ephesus. And Timothy worked a number of years of time there at Ephesus. And Paul saluted him for his work and for his work's sake and for the ideals that he set forth in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Timothy, that's what you do. Notice that he says regarding this matter that this house would be built and exalted above the hills. It would be a place in which people would find not war, but they would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears they would turn into pruning hooks. Now, what's the difference in a sword and a pruning hook? Well, a pruning hook is taking something that you have the fruits and vegetables and you cut them off the vine, you cut them off the limb, you have them for food to eat. It's a wonderful thing that you're having to come into your body and your life. Whereas the sword is something that is vicious against you and will cut your skin and cut you internally and terrible things about that. And he says that they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears they'll turn into pruning hooks. Neither will they learn war anymore. They won't learn war against one another. They'll be Jews and Gentiles. And they'll be in the same family. They'll be in the same house of God, the church of the living God. The pillar and ground of the truth will tell them that this is not the way to live. This is not the way for you to do. These are brothers in Christ. These are sisters in Christ. This is the right way to go. And you know, it's a lesson to be learned for some congregations in our day and time. There are congregations that they find themselves with sinful conditions of certain members of the church. Sinful ways of life being done. What do they do? Well, they find themselves forgiving that, forgetting about that, and hushing up. Shh, 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 shh. Don't let that be talked about at all. Let's just let that go by the board. Let's let God deal with that. Well, they don't recognize that in the writing of Paul to the brethren at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians in chapters 5 and 6, he deals with a situation where a man is living in adultery with his father's wife. Incestuous relationship. And Paul says, this is not even named among the Gentile people. This practice that you are honoring and you're recognizing, you're just letting go by the board. He urges them to withdraw fellowship from this brother, that he may learn of his errant way. And to his credit, he did. In 2 Corinthians, we see that he repented of that way of life. He repented of those deeds that he was doing. He got away from those things and he came back to the Lord. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that that can happen? Whereas the brethren up to that time had simply endangered his soul by looking the other way, not saying anything about it, letting it go by the board, letting it be at peace that way. No, peace could come about by repenting of that sin, getting right with the Lord, honoring His right way, living a faithful way of life instead of a sinful, sin-filled way of life. And Paul is urging the brethren at Corinth to do that, and they did it. And as they did this, they told the brother that they were going not to fellowship that way of life. We're not going to participate with you in that way of life. And as a result, this man came to himself. He realized what he was doing, realized it was wrong. He had done it simply because they looked the other way and didn't say anything about it. He kept on doing it in peace and quiet within himself, and that was not right. So he repented of it. And as a result, God forgave him and honored the brethren there at Corinth for their faithfully doing that work. That's the house of God we're talking about. And today, there are congregations that find themselves sometimes in a way of life by which they honor someone and they look the other way. That person may be filled with anger. And their anger way of life is known to everybody in the community. It may be known by the neighbors that they live next to. It certainly be known by their family members. Wife, husband, children, grandchildren. Terrible ways of life they live. Endangering people. Fussing at people. Defaming people. Terrible words being used toward them. And mannerisms being used toward them. And anger that gets into a violent way. Not remembering that Solomon back in Proverbs 18:21 said, the power of life and death is in the tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And here you can be people who honor that way of life and become angry at others and talk viciously toward others and be killed because of it. There are those who will find their way to not absorb that anymore. They will find their way to go against that, and they'll kill the person whose tongue is so bitter against them. And that's a terrible way of life to do. Power of life and of death. Wouldn't you rather do the words that give life and encouragement to people rather than death to people, defaming people and causing them to hate you so bad that they want to take your life? There's no way for us to talk and live and behave. That's the church of the Lord. That's Christ Jesus' way of doing things. Because when Jesus came, he talked about this way of life in the right way and the good way. In Mark chapter 9, verse 1, a passage in the midst of that part of Christ and the prophecy, he said, I tell you, there'll be many of you standing here, Jesus talking to the people at that day and time, in the midst of his ministry work. He said, there are many of you standing here that shall not taste of death. You're not going to die. Till you have seen what? The kingdom of God come with power. That kingdom of God came on the day of Pentecost with power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Came there to teach them the gospel, and these apostles arose and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't go to school and study the other languages or the people and the other dialects that they were there on the day of their worship there in the time of the day of Pentecost. They were people there who were endued with a power from on high. That power enabled them to speak in languages. And look what the people said. How do they speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God? They understood that what these men were talking and what they were saying was wonderful. Wonderful works of God. They're talking about wonderful things. I wonder but what he was quoting Isaiah and the house of God and how that they would not learn war anymore against one another, how that he would invite them all nations. Although at that day and time, they wouldn't have accepted the Gentile idea into their hearts and lives. But nevertheless, they would be so gracious to have Isaiah quoted that very likely they would have that to be wonderful power of God that they would understand. And so anyway, the preaching and teaching was done there on the day of Pentecost, and they understood in their tongues the wonderful works of God. And they heard that message, and they looked at one another, and when he got down to talking about, you have murdered the Son of God. You've murdered him. You've taken his life. By wicked hands, you have done this. By the Roman hands, the wicked hands of men. You've done this. They wouldn't have done it unless you insisted that they do it. Pilate, you remember, didn't want to do that. What fault do I find in this? I find no fault in this man. But they shouted and shouted and shouted, release Barabbas, release Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Crucify Jesus. And so he allowed that to be done. But wicked hands crucified and slew Jesus. And that's what Peter's saying to them on the day of Pentecost. And they're pricked in their hearts. And they say unto Peter, and that's the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What must we do? And they're told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. They would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They no doubt had the idea of the prophet's words back there about the Spirit of God coming and being a part of their lives, but they didn't understand all about it, and they wouldn't understand all about it until they had the laying on of the apostles' hands with that power to be imbued upon some of them. And they had a wonderful blessing as a result of that. They could speak languages they'd never studied. They could tell people the gospel message of truth that they never thought they could ever talk the language of, but they could. And they could do it in a wonderful way, and it was a powerful way of doing it. And that's called the New Testament church. That's the house of God. What's the creed of that church? What's the teaching, the doctrinal teaching of that church? In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus plainly says that my word will judge you in the last day. If you deny me and reject my word will judge you in the last day. If Jesus' word's going to judge us in the last day and them in that day and time, and all the way down the stream of time, here we are. What do we need to do to the words of Jesus? Do we need to pay attention to what he said? Do we need to pay attention as to how he taught us? What he teaches about faith, believe in me. What he teaches about repentance, he told him to turn from sin. What he teaches about confessing the Lord, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven if you confess me before men on earth. What about baptism? Well, he says regarding that matter in Mark 16, 15 and 16, particularly verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized, he mixed it with a coordinated conjunction and joining things of equal rank, equal importance. And so repentance, faith and baptism into Christ are tied together inseparably with the remission of your sins. They would have forgiveness if they did that. And his word wouldn't stand against them at the judgment day because his word was being followed by them. What about his word regarding the anger of life? What about forgiveness of others and the forgiving spirit that we have in life? As you read in Matthew 18 and at verse 17, 18, and then in the last verse of the chapter as well. If you do not from your heart forgive those who trespass against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. If I don't forgive from my heart the wrongs that someone has said and done against me, and I've had that to be done. And forgive from my heart what they said. They had no proof of it, no record of it, nothing of gold on it. And they knew that they didn't. But I didn't challenge them about it. I accepted what they said and worked with them in that regard. And they could see the love that I had for them. And I did every one of those men's funeral services and their wives' services. I did every one of them in the later time. What a deal, what a blessing I've had in that way of life. To follow what Jesus said, do it, is the way to do it. And so I don't have the Father saying, you didn't forgive them their trespasses against you. Neither do I forgive you your trespasses against me. He doesn't say that to me because I forgave those people. I don't hold it against them. I speak well of them even today. I use this only as illustration that they could be wrong. They could be terribly wrong, and they were, but they found themselves in it, and they repented of that. And as a result of that, I forgave them of it. And the times of life that we live in a wonderful, that's the creed of God's Word, that's the teaching of His Word. It'll be the Word that judges, Revelation 20, verse 11 and 12, at the last day. It'll be the Word that judges. What is the membership of the church? The membership of the church is the meaning of the Word itself, the called out ones. The called out people, the called out of sin and wrongdoing, the called away from that, called into peace, Isaiah 2, called into forgiveness, that's the way of life that they live, baptized into Christ, forgiven of their sins. Wonderful, wonderful is the wonderful membership of the church. We've been called out. We're obedient to the Lord as they were in the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. We're new creatures as described by Jesus in John 3 at verse 5. And in Romans 6, verses 1 through 5. Indeed, we are living stones, built up a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Now, what is the church? In 1 Timothy 3, it's the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And here we are adding to that building, adding to that household. We are part of that house of God as living stones. We're living. We're not dead and lifeless. We're not hardened by the ways of the world, in the wickedness of the world. We are people who live that way as living stones built up. And because we are that strong and that powerful, because God's given us that power, we're not offended and bothered by someone who says, "You're telling me something that's not right. You're telling me something not true. You're telling me something not accurate." Yes, I could go to the verse in the Bible and cite it for you. And there are many people that I've sat at breakfast with that have asked me a question, and instead of answering the question at that moment in time with all the others sitting around looking and looking and looking, write down a verse of Scripture and read this as you get home today. There are those that have not read it as they got home. They've lost the piece of paper that I wrote it on, and they've asked for that again another day. And I've written it again. I didn't say, "Well, I gave it to you one time, and that's enough for me, and I'm weary about writing, and I'm not going to give it to you again." No, that's not my attitude. My attitude is teach them the gospel. Show them the way of the Lord. Not my way I'd have it, but the way of the Lord that He would have us all to be. He'd have us all to be that way that He taught us to be. And so the way of the Lord is a good thing. We're talking about lively stones. The organization of the church is so important, and it's important for us, and it's something that we need to consider even more here at Crockett. Evangelists, the teaching of God's Word. Evangels, angels, messenger, those who go out to carry the message of the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, reference is made to those who find themselves going forth to teach the Word of God. Saints are in Christ Jesus. The church of Corinth, when Paul wrote to them, he talked to those who are saints in Christ Jesus at the church of God which is at Corinth. Saints in the Lord. They are sanctified, set apart to a holy use in the service of God. Among those that are saints, there are those who qualify to be bishops of the church, elders of the church, as they're referred to. And in 1 Timothy 3, the conditions are listed there, verses 1 through 9, in reference to the church of the Lord and the bishops of the church of the Lord. And how they are to be people who are not the novice. They're not to be the youngest members of the church at all. They're to know the faith. They're to know the teaching of the Lord. And the things I've talked tonight are the things they're to know. They're to know about the church, the house of God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. They're to know about the truth and the teaching of God, about salvation. They're to know about these things. And they are to inform others in the church about that, and they're to insist that those who teach the gospel teach that way. Teach that truth. Don't hesitate about telling what the Lord has said about a subject that you're studying there. And as a result, as young people, be an example to the believer, 1 Timothy 4:12, in your words that you say, in your manner of life that you lead, in your work that you do, there are to be people who are good examples. Teach them to do that way. Teach them to live that way. And that's the way of a teacher for God's Word. Elders are to be responsible. Deacons of the church. Word deacon carries with it the idea of kicking up dust, doing it in haste, doing things in haste. And it has a word, a little element to that word originally, that is the idea of dust on their feet. They're kicking up dust as they go about doing something. They're getting a hurry of not doing it. They're not lazy men. They are men who serve because they know people are in need. And in those need situations, whether it's food, clothes, shelter, or whatever need it is that they deal with, in members of the church first and foremost, but also others as well. Because if we serve only those that are members of a household of faith, didn't Jesus ask us that if we serve only those, what do we more than others? We serve others as well. And we can do that together. We can do that. We're blessed of God, and He'll bless us in return as we do that service of God. The worship of God is identified, not the how, but the idea of it in John 4, 23, 24, when God says that I am a spirit, and I seek true worshipers to worship me in spirit and in truth. He wants us spiritually to worship Him. He wants us to worship Him according to the truth. As we sing tonight, we're called to the truth, Ephesians 5 and 19. We're speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. As we pray tonight, we're praying in the name of Jesus Christ. We're praying that way. We're talking about Him and His way of life. When we talk about this way of life that we're doing in service to others, whether they're in times of a tornado, in terms of a hurricane, or in terms that are terrible ways of life that are going on, we know that we've got contact with brethren that have the trucks and have the trailers, and they're ready to go at a moment's notice about where it is in the world, where it is in America, that they can go. And they serve in Wyoming, they serve in Illinois, they serve in Florida, they serve on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, they serve us in this North Mississippi area with tornadoes that come about. And we have already begun that work by the support that we have done. We got a letter the other day, did we not? It said, thank you for the $1,000 along the way. They appreciated so very much all of our assistance with it. And it makes a difference when you do that sort of thing. And that's talking about the work of the Lord that is being talked about. That's how we worship God and we serve Him as we should. The work of the Lord. What's the work of the Lord? And maybe this is an area in which we need more encouragement. And I want to encourage us tonight, all of us. Make a telephone call. Don't tell somebody, we miss you at church, without really meaning it. I miss you when you're not able to be present. I look forward to the time which you could be able to return. I look forward to the day in which you can come through the door. I look forward to that very much. Make it feel like that you really do. Not just a set of words that are there, but words that are meaningful to the person's heart and meaningful to you as well. Think about that. The work to be done. Preach the gospel. Some people have prepared themselves to preach and teach. I get calls all the time. I've got calls from a couple of congregations right now looking for the next young man that could come their way and preach for them on Sundays. They want them badly. They've used them good. Brother Teske, who's a big part of the work that's being done there at the Global Broadcast Network, Teske's son has just gotten a job down in Florida, so he'll be leaving the Jackson's Grove congregation and going down that way in the next few weeks of time. And they need somebody to come that way and speak and fill in. And I've given them four or five names of men that I've worked with before through the years. And a couple of them, I haven't mentioned your name yet. I told them I will not mention people here at Crockett yet till I find out how these others can do. And be there with them there and preach for them. They want him to preach, talk about things of the Bible on that thing. Little congregation, but it's out there in the country and it's one of the faithful congregations. They serve the Lord. They serve the way of the Lord as they can too. They do good at Jackson's Grove. Good people. Good place. Prepare them to preach. Help the poor. And here's edify the brethren. Ephesians 4 and 12 and 13. Edify. Build up. There are things that happen in our lives that just get the best of us. And we don't need to stay down in thinking about them. We don't need to stay in the doldrums of life when we have that going on. We need to have somebody that says to us, let these words build you up. Let these words encourage you. May I say a few words that I hope will encourage you? And getting their permission, yes, go ahead. they'll be encouraged by the things we say to them in coming back to worship as soon as they can, in doing whatever service they can to their families. Once again, we will teach them the gospel by which they can live. Somebody asked, well, we're going to tell you about doing youth activities here. But we don't have the groups of young people. They've left us along the way to be involved with our youth ministry activities and everything, and they left us to do that. But we've got an opportunity to bring them back sometime on a Saturday and be a part of the program. We've got the money to do it. We've got the effort to do it. We got the time to do it. And we worked on that. I don't know if the third Saturday in February is still the best time to do it. But I know that it was for a number of years. I asked the young people who were here at that time, where can you be on a Saturday for this event to go on? I mentioned about this Saturday. That's a basketball Saturday. No, that's a soccer Saturday. No, that's another Saturday. And there were conflicts until we got to the third Saturday of February. Nobody spoke a word. Nobody said anything. Is there nothing going on the third Saturday of February? Let's do it on the third Saturday of February. Let's invite people to come and bring their young people here. And we've had groups to come from as far away as Rolling Fork, Mississippi, as far away as Coffeyville, Mississippi, and groups of them come, and they have talked about it in such a way that when some of you have asked them, and I know you have, because they tell me on the telephone that you have, and I appreciate that because I ask them too on the phone, was it worth your trip to be up here for that event? Thank you for asking them that. Because they said to you, yes, it was. They tell others it's a great event that goes on. Their youth day out there is worth being a part of. Because it involves them in activities. It involves them in some knowledge. And involves them in some songs to be sung that they thoroughly enjoy and benefit from it. We're talking about a work of the Lord. That's the New Testament church. It's the work that is described by the Lord Himself in His ways. And we talk about these ways that are righteous and good. We're talking about a way that is described as the New Testament church, the house of God, a way of peace. We talked about a way that's the creed of God's teaching. We talked about membership of being the called out people of the Lord. We talked about organization and how we can grow in that way. We're not the only people who would ever be here, the only people who could ever be recognized in the leadership capacity of this church. We'll worship God in spirit and in truth. We'll find ourselves doing what the Lord said to do in this way of life that we live. And we'll worship Him. And we'll keep on doing His work. We're not about to cease doing the activities of the Lord. We need to host a Ladies' Day here. We've got still a good group of ladies here. And what you can do with that just few hours of time will make all the difference in the world and their lives. We've got to do that. We've got some good skilled people here. Not only Miss Jane among them, but we've got some good skilled people able to do things. That's good. Hope you've enjoyed this particular study along the way. Now, Ben, what I want to do here is can this out and show you that all of these are particular rag charts, as he's called them. All of these men through the years are part of this DVD. And when you come next time along the way, I'll click on Flavor Nichols and you'll have this one right here. There was a Pemberton person who wanted do the drawing. And that's the next one out. Like Sunday morning, Lord, with the change of heart. From a wicked heart to a pure in heart person. What's the difference? A person who's ignorant maintains that way of life. A person that gets some understanding from God, I want to be pure in heart. I want to be that kind of person. I'll be free from sin when I'm that way. And that's the way of life I want to do. But always, we talk about Brother Flavel Nichols and his ways of doing things. The Pemberton people were able to draw for him, and they really enjoyed him, and they did draw for him. But anyway, I won't show you everything about it, but I'll show you that it's a long way. We talk about 1,300 charts that are found in all these ways. Did you ever know this man, Jimmy Powell? He came from Ruleville, Mississippi. He married a young lady there at Ruleville, Mississippi. Jimmy Powell was a fine, fine fellow. He was over, let me tell you a story about this quickly as a close out tonight. He was over in Northeast Mississippi. And there was an old brother over there who was a good man. He worked man. He was in Verona, Mississippi. And right where the roads there cross, and you go to Aberdeen one way and you come down to Oklahoma the other way. They come out of Tupelo and you get down to Verona, and then you have to make a decision. Which way are you going to go? You're going to go left to down that way to Aberdeen, or you're going to go right down to Oklahoma and that way. And so he said that Jimmy Powell one night was there doing a tent gospel meeting. He was under a tent, and he had a chart up there, and I don't know that I have this chart on this the way. I've looked for it, but I don't know if I see about it. But anyhow, on one side of the chart it was, brethren, what must they do? And he was talking about, why can't they understand faith and repentance and confession and baptism into Christ and worshiping in spirit and in truth? Why can't they understand that? And he urged them to follow the Bible. He said, I was enjoying that sermon. Old Brother Tom said, I enjoyed that part of the sermon. But he said, in just a little bit after he preached that, he reached up there in that chart and he flipped the other side of that chart down so we could read it. You know, half of it was up on the, flipped it down. And he said, and brethren, why don't we understand? And he said, I didn't enjoy that near as much, but it sure was beneficial to me. He said it was beneficial to me. But I didn't enjoy it. He asked me, why don't we understand it? They'll never hear it unless we tell them. Unless we show them in the book of books. They'll never understand it. And if we're not people who are faithful in our worship, why would we want them to think about us being faithful? If they never see our automobile sitting out there in a worship service, why do they think that they should be there? He went on down the line with what we don't understand ourselves. And Brother Tom said, oh man, that was some kind of sermon that Jimmy Powell delivered. But anyhow, Brother Powell was a fine, fine fellow and good ways. And his in-laws, he did not reach with the gospel, as far as I know he didn't. And when I met him and met them, I knew that he came from a city, a family that could understand the message of the gospel. I thank you tonight for your study with us. I appreciate so very much your being here tonight. And in every way, I hope that you'll enjoy the next seven lessons that will be done in this way. As long as the invitation is provided tonight, it's the idea of our way of life and what we can do for the Lord. Let's stand together as we sing this good hymn together.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be?
Make
yeah.
it more.
Just a,
do we have any other announcements to see? This is the last day of January.
Yeah.
Come on, springtime.
I have one thing I'd like to say. Is we were talking about edifying and encouraging each other. Mary Jane needs some help. I mean, some encouragement from us. Just a phone call.
Yep.
We've got her cell phone number now, and